strike for coming. Just to recap what we covered last week, a few points which we're really going to discuss again this week. One is that if there's a mum in a mekach, if the lokeh cannot prove that it happened b'shus ha-mechila, if the lokeh cannot prove that it was there prior to the sale, then it's not a mekach tois. And the second halacha, which we discussed, is that if indeed it is a mekach tois, there might be additional obligations one to the other. For example, if the lokeh was meshviach the item, he might be entitled, depending on the case, he might be entitled to collect shvach as well from the mecha. And tonight as well, we're going to just highlight these two points with different ramifications. Let's start. We're up to Siman Reish Lamed Beis, Sif Tes Vav. Hamecha karka l'chaveiroi v'ocho periseh. Someone sold the karka v'ocho periseh and the lakeach, rightfully so, ate the peris. He ate the fruit of the karka. Lachas man, and after some time, niroloi b'mum, he noticed the mum. And he immediately comes back to the meicha. It's true he has a right to return the karka, because it's a mekach tois. But at the same time, if he does that, he has an additional obligation to the meicha, and that is, he's going to have to return all the pears that he ate back to the meicha. And let's one more halacha. If it was a chatz and he lived in the chatz, he had a house, and for example, and it was a mekach tois, he would like to give back the house. He's going to have to pay rent for the chatz that he used during the period that he thought that he was the lokeach. We have a halacha. Basically, what is it saying? It's saying that when you have a mekach tois, it's grounds for mekach tois, it's a mum. You have a right to give it back. But if you give it back retroactively, it was never yours. If retroactively it was never yours, then the seller has the right to charge you for the hanah, for the benefit that you derive from his item, whether it be a kak and you derive pleasure from his peris, or whether it be a chotz and you derive benefit by having free rent. There it is, it's not free. You're now going to have to pay the moicha, compensate him for his product, for his item. Now, there's a machlokes here, but the way we paskin, the Rishonim and Mavur, it's a tshuva, it's a rift, that the way we paskin is the yisoid of this chiv is because zenen avizeh chosar. It's the seller had a loss involved, it was wear and tear, or whatever it was, or peris, there's a real loss involved, and the lekech had hana from the seller's product. And like all over, we have a cloud, and it's zenen avizeh chosar, the person is chayiv to pay. Because basically what happened was is there was no mekach, it was an illusion, there really wasn't any mekach, and the lokeach, it's as if the lokeach went into the mecha's property, whether it be b'shus or shlovich, it doesn't make a difference, and he used his item, and he'd be chayiv al zenen of ezeh chosan. Now what would happen if you have a case where it would be zeh loy nene v'zeh loy chosan? Let's take it would be a case like the Gemara gives, it's a chotzer deloy kaim alagra v'gavra delovet l'mega, which means that the seller wasn't holding by renting the field anyway, and the person, the squatter, in this case the lokeach, wasn't interested in paying rent anyway. Had he not had this field, he would have found a different place to live, or maybe he has a different house to live, so he doesn't have a real hanon. So in the chanami, in such a case, it'd be pata. But typically, let's say the case of Paris is a real hanon, a real chazon, even the case of chotzer v'doboy, we're talking about a case with a lokeach had hana, he saved himself rent, he's going to have to give back rent. If he'd be mashbiach the karka, yes, then we would have the halacha like before. If to go into a shvach, yes, he would have a right to deduct that. But this is a major halacha, because practically speaking, this is just now a deterrent for a lokeach to ever call a mekach tois. And by the way, this applies to Matalatlan as well. If you'll have a case where he derived pleasure from Matalatlan and the Zenen of the Chos, you can charge him for a no. Let's say about a car. It came out to be a mum, a mekach tois. He had the car for 6 months. All of a sudden, he's going to be hit with a bill, a rental bill for 6 months, which is a hefty scum. So it's a deterrent for lokeach to call a mekach tois because he might be hit, and he will be hit, with this bill. Now, if it's something obviously severe, then he has to weigh his options. If he's going to be severe enough that he wants to call a mekach tois, nevertheless, let him do that. But basically, this because of this halach, I would say many, can't say how many, but many cases are not called of a mekach tois because of this. Are there any questions?
By the car, I always thought you said it's like he gave him a shush to use it until he found it, right? So it just means
He gave rishos, correct, but if he derived pleasure from it, if he had anon, there was wear and tear, or any other chasarin in the car, he would be chayif for zanen of a chasar. There is one, because of what you're raising, there is one nafkamin, and I was going to avoid it, but there's a halacha when it's zen loinena v'zechosar. Means we're talking about the both extremes. Either zenena v'zechosar or zel loinena v'zel loichosar. What happens if you have a middle case? We'll have a case of zel loinena, Yitaka had derived no pleasure, but it was zechosar, he had a chasarin. For example, let's say I'll live in your building, I'll live in your apartment, I'm a squatter, and I have another place to live. So I'm not nena, but you have a chasarin because since I occupied your apartment, you couldn't rent it to someone else. This is machlekes rishonim, if I'm chayiv or not. And the riff is of the opinion I am chayiv, and the reason is, you can't get me al zenen v'zeh lochot, because I'm not nena, but the reason is I'm chayiv because of a mazik. Because once your apartment produced its rent, its ishtamshus, whatever its pace, whatever your apartment, it's generated, and I took that, it's as if I was mazik that ishtamshus from you. And that would be midin mazik. However, here, if you'll have such a case of zeh loinene v'zeh chosar, you would not be chayv midin mazik, based on the principle we had before. It's because the seller told him, go use it. So you can't be mechayv amat mazik. The seller can't, let's give it a practical application. A guy has a house, and Itaka has no hano, or a car, and for some reason he doesn't have hano. Let's say use it for a day, but the seller had a wear and tear for that day. There was chasarin in it, and the lokeach didn't have any hano. And the halacha would be that the lokeach here would be potter, even though if he had not been a lokeach, like the riff, he would be chayiv, because he was mazik, that chasarin that I generated, that I caused, but but by a lokeach, he wouldn't have that tzar because the seller gave him the right to use the car. So he can't be mechayiv amat mazik because it was b'shusay hizik, like we had before cases, and we'll probably have after at the end of the siman some more cases like that. I told you to use the car, so I can't get you amat mazik, like we had the case of the animal, and I shechted the animal, and then I tined it mekatoyit. You can't get me from mazik for killing your beima because you told me to shecht it. That's what it was aimed for.
This halacha really is always a case when he gave him b'shusay.
He always gave him a choice, right? So you're not going to get him mitam mazik.
You can never get him.
Correct, but you're going to get him out then and of his achosan, which is a different chiv. If he derived pleasure, or he would have paid rent somewhere else, it would be then and of his achosan. 100%. I was just about to say that.
He could be his loichosan because the fact that you found the moment. I couldn't sell it to anybody because of that moment.
Yeah, no, but he might have been able to use a car or sold it to someone with disclosing the moment. If it be zenen of the loichosa, the riff is mavu that you'd be potter here. The chiv is only because it's zenen of the loichosa. Now he raised a good point. And buy a car. Let's say the example of a car. You rented the car for 6 months. You bought the car for 6 months, and now you're hit with a rental bill for 6 months. The halacha is obviously that you're not going to have to pay a $30 a day rental charge, and 30 times 6 months is 180 days worth of $30. That's not the case. The case is what he was aiming. What hano did he derive from this? Had he not bought this car, either he would have leased a car or bought another car. And this here becomes difficult. But let's say a car's lifespan is 10 years and he paid $20,000 for the car. So roughly he paid $2,000 per year if he prorated. Obviously the first year it's worth more than the last year. So let's make the first year $2,500. And if you use it for 6 months, you'll only have to pay $1,250. But that needs hashara, and it's going to be up to the bezin to decide.
In the world out there, you can counter. So you can tell him, I would have bought the other car and I would have never, wouldn't have cost me. I mean, could he go back to him with a time that he saw myself in the moon because of you? I lost that.
No, he really didn't lose, because if he's only prorating his price, so really he didn't lose anything. He got 6 months worth of pleasure. So buy another car now. I don't know if Grum is, if the market changed, but right, I didn't put you in a worse position than you initially were. You were about to buy a car then, you could buy the car now, and I gave you 6 months worth that you don't need a car for because you used mine, and I could charge you for that window, that 6 months. But nevertheless, it still amounts to a lot of money, and he might decide not to, because something was wrong, which might cost less than the $1,250, he might not call a mekach tais. All right, let's move on to Sif Tezainen. Reuven shemacha l'shimin gvinais. Reuven sold to Shimon cheese. Or l'achash l'isha yomim. And after 3 days, paskam, he opened them up. And matzim rukavis rekavim gadol. He found them to be in a terrible state of rotting. Yishulu l'oisei gvinais. He should ask the mumchim in the field, people who manufacture cheese, what is the typical time period? What's normal for this recovering to take place? If they'll determine, they'll say, Shanasi recovering the Beis HaMoicha, if they'll say that it definitely happened in the Beis HaMoicha, for example, let's say it was only 2 days after you purchased it, you found this recovering, and you go over to them and they'll say, well, this must take at least 2 days, probably 3 days, whatever, so then you know you can ascertain that it was really there from before, prior to the sale, then nimsa shoyim mekach tois. Then it was a mekach tois. When my dove is safik, if the dove is safik, I'm mitzvah mechaver olav araya, then you're going to have to try to prove it, which you can, and therefore I'm mitzvah mechaver olav araya, and you'll lose. Now we had our halacha before by treifas of sircha, the lokeach.
And to be paid.
If he had not paid, yeah, right, then the Lokeach Pashas will win. Right. But in the case where the Lokeach paid, he's gonna lose. But you're right, I should feel right. Had the Lokeach not paid, because it's a mekavel of a right, the Machaber seemingly says, yeah, 1 second, seemingly says, we're gonna address this point. Seemingly says, I'm
making a question. It says Shemachar sold it.
Yeah, but maybe he didn't pay yet. Maybe he was billed, but he didn't pay yet. He sold it, he made the Kenyan, he took the product home and he charged it. Let's say you buy KFS, then you charge it to your account, you never paid yet. You bought on credit card, or you bought food, KFS, you charge it.
Why over here do you have a 3 day time limit? We always found that you have time until you find
one. Yeah, there's no time limit here. You could find the moon whenever you want. The case happened to be 3 days. You could find it whenever you want. The only thing is, if you find it 2 years later, it's going to be a difficult time to prove that this rotting came, you know, prior to the sale. He only gave this was a maisa, it was a Chuvah Sarosh, that was a maisa Shahaya. But what I want to address is this point, is that we had our halacha before at the end of Sifjir Aleph, when you sold the behemoth and it came out to be a trefa, the same halacha, if you could prove that the trefa was there prior to the sale, then it's a mekach tois. If you can prove it was prior to the sale, then it's not a mekach tois, and halacha there is, v'yitein hadomim imhem adayim b'yodeh. There it's even worse. There you don't say it's a mekaver ol avarayah, there you say even if the lekech had not yet paid, you have to pay. And there was a concept which I discussed then with Kanimsa. It's in Sifjir Aleph. When you purchased the behemoth and it found out to be a trefa, and you don't know when this trefa took place, when it was nitraf, if you cannot prove that it happened prior to the sale, then you have to go through with the sale and you have to pay, even though you had not yet paid. And we don't apply the concept of hamotz mekavel of araya. And the reason is because we had a different concept of kanimsa kanhoya. There's a klal that wherever you find a damage, if you ever find something to be different than what we anticipated, kanimsa, if you found it here, kanhoya, then we have to establish that it was happened here. And therefore, if you don't know, we assume that the trefa happened here, and therefore you must pay. So the question is, this is a lachari stira, so how come over here the machabe says, hamotz mekavel ol of araya, look, by cheese, why should be a mitzvah mekavel of araya? Here, by cheese, the halacha should be the same halacha, that if you cannot prove definitely that it was there beforehand, it should be kanimsa kanhoya, and even had you not yet paid, you should have to pay.
Because of the beginning of halacha, that you should go ahead to the mulchim and ask them how long it takes to develop this mold.
Right, if they don't know, I went to the mumchim, and let's say the mumchim don't know. Let's say they cannot prove. Let's say they say it only takes 1 day. It only takes 1 day, and it was already 3 days transpired, which was the case. It should be kanim to kanhoya. Why is it only a mitzvah mekavel of araya? So the Beis Yosef is the kasha, and Itaka says it's lav dafka, and the Chanami is lav dafka. It's the same halach as before, kanim to kanhoya, and it's. Yeah, but this is very, the problem was already started from the tour in the Rosh. Yeah, okay, very good. Some would like to suggest cheese is different. There are problems with that. With Klolim of Kanenza Kanoya, cheese doesn't really work out why it should be different. What would be your reason why you think cheese is different?
It's the normal thing for it to get
rotted. Good. That's some Achrayim want to say that. The Sma says that it's a difficult Sma because there are rayas that even when something is normal, we still apply the concept of kanimsa kanhoya. I would like to share with you a pshat from the Rashbash. I think it's emes of pshat. I mean, Beza didn't say it, but I think it's really part of pshat. And that is the Madaik and the Mechaba. The Mechaba says as follows: He should ask the mumchim how long does it typically take, or when is it roy, when is it shaykh to come such a rikovin. So if they tell you yoyim should not rikovin bebeis hamoichot and avadat hamekach tois, the madav is sopik. Who's misopik? Hadav is sopik. The oisei gvinis are misopik. That means they know that this could take somewhere between 2 and 4 days. They're not 100% sure. They know it has to take at least 2 and not more than 4. And this was 3 days. So they are misopik if it's even possible for the rikovin to happen over here. If they're misopik, if they're recovering the shaykh to happen over here, then they're really misopik whether it's even possible to say the klal of kanim sakan hoya. If you have we know for sure, let's go back to the treifa and you'll see what I mean. You have a treifa is that let's say it takes only 1 day to have a treifa, and you purchased it 3 days ago. So we know for sure it is very possible to happen over here. We don't know the truth when it really happened, but we know it definitely could happen over here. It could happen over here. We have a klal kanim zakanoya. If you don't know if it could happen over here, then what you really musubik is it possible b'chalal to say this concept of kanim zakanoya? Maybe it's impossible to be kanhoya. Maybe it's impossible because it was only 3 days, and maybe such a writing requires 4 days. So we don't even know if it's possible to be kanhoya. So really what you're doing then is it's sofik, is it kanim zakanoya or not? So that's a moitzim nekaver olov araya. Had you paid already, you're going to lose your money. Had you not paid already, you could say, I'm muxik, and I want to claim that for such a writing requires 4 days, and since it was only 3 days, it's going to be a mekach tois. Because I know for sure it must have happened before. Because it's a suffic gufa if it's even possible to happen now. Before, sorry?
No, forget.
That's why you have a kanin tzgayoyah, because you have a chazak to make kara, and therefore we let's maklek zeyshenim. But that's like some rishonim. Therefore, we postpone it to the latest possible point. But here we don't know when that was. It could very well be the latest possible point was 4 days ago. We don't know. The oisei gvinis themselves on the suffik. That is the lashon. We ask them, and if it's a davar suffik, why is a davar suffik? Because it's a suffik to them. They don't know. And then it'll be a meitzen kaver al ovaraya. Well, that might be the lomdis of kanem to kanoy. That's my clerk is why, but that might. That's why you say over there kanem to kanoy.
Right now
is a treif if you want to go backwards. So that's. Well, I don't want to learn kanim zekanoya al regalachas, but there's a whole siman reish kavdal about kanim zekanoya.
Whatever it is, you can't say that by gvina.
Why can you say that the writing was already from before? I mean, the same whatever kazaka dash you can have over there. Well, gvina one time was not spoiled. I mean, we hope that it once wasn't spoiled. Pashas, it starts off normally and then it spoils later on. Because the halakhas are the same. The Rashbaz is just saying a pshat because he's making a different akimta. And this akimta would apply over there too. Had it been, you asked the mumchum about treifas, and they will tell you it takes between 2 and 4 days, and they don't know gufa, and then you can't apply the klal kanim to kanoya there either, because it's a suffix if it's possible to say kanoya. Sorry? What we learned before? What we learned before is a madaba suffix means that the oisei gvina told you it only takes 1 day, taka. And you purchased it 3 days ago, so you have no way to prove. And if it's a davar sofek, when did actually this rikovin take place? The takik might have taken place over here, because all it requires is 1 day to do, to come about. But we don't know. Maybe it happened to be here a week ago, too. We don't know. So to
say it takes 3 days, and you
then, but if we know for sure it took at least 3 days, then we can prove it was there from before, and therefore it will be a bit of mekak. So the Beis Yosef learned that davar sofek just meant we know it could be now, but we just don't know. So if he says, we apply the concept of a kanim to kanoya. But the Rosh Hashanah is saying that davar sofek is as if even shaykh to happen here. They themselves are misopik, and therefore it's a mitzvah kaver lo varaya.
Practically speaking, you go to KFS and you buy a case of milk, and
they
come home and
they're all spoiled.
Whatever it is, and they come home and they're all spoiled. Is there
kanim
to kanoya in that case?
If you cannot prove from the degree of spoiling that it was zikha there before you prior to the purchase, in a chanami, you will have a problem that it might have spoiled in your reshus. Then you could still have a mekatois mitzad a different halacha, and that is maybe the milk was supposed to last for a certain period of time, and it didn't.
Right.
So it was something inherently wrong with it. But he can tell you, and maybe you left it out in your car. And
yeah, but they don't know. For example, in that case, they don't know that when it was by them, it wasn't spoiled already, right? It could be that the truck that was bringing it was was stuck in.
Correct. They don't know, but balkanim tekanoya, they can say it happened in your rishus.
They can say kanim tekanoya.
Unless you prove from the degree of spoiling that it was there from before the mecca.
Well, I think
unless you do, if it's cheesed up already, then you know it didn't happen in the last few hours. But if it just lost its taste, or you see something floating, you know. You know, every case you're going to have to done separately. But in a, if you cannot prove for sure that it was there prior to the sale, you're going to have the concept of kanim zekanoya. And you're going to end up losing. Now, it wouldn't be kanim tekanoya. What? Because it happened slowly.
Exactly.
But maybe the initial stage of the writing also started by you. Kanim tekanoya. Right.
Fine, but it could. No, definitely started. Or
how do you know it started from the beginning?
Milk the cow starts writing. Just.
Oh yeah.
It takes time. It's good till this stage.
I don't know, but that part, that stage of writing is not a problem. The writing is when it really writes.
Right, but it starts.
Pashas, we would still say then kanim tekanoya. Pashas. On a side note, the Mechaber says Yitzchulu lo isei gvinus. We should ask the Mumchim. The Rashbash had a few cases of he had a problem with a wall, a defective wall, other cases, and he says that the people you have to ask are Yirei Elokim. People who are Nemon have to be Yirei Shemaim, obviously Shemitere Mitzvahs. However, there's a concept by Ona that when you have to hear a Yair Lataga there, the Knesset Gedela brings down that you could already ask a goy if he's an omen because of a concept of lo mora omnusei. We have this concept in Yeridea that even though he's a goy and really he's not Neman, because he has his job on the line, his omnus, his profession on the line, therefore he's trustworthy. He might have to do mizik lefitumai, whatever it is. And Pasha Lechay should be the same thing here. That means if you're asking a baki, some person for his opinion, and he's not an omen, he just happens to know about this product, then you would have to ask Yirei Elokim, someone who's a Shemitah and Mitzvah. But if you're asking someone who's a mumcha, let's say these Isaac Venus are manufactured cheese, and if somehow if you put his profession on the line, if he tells you the wrong information, then Lechay you could rely on a goy as well to ascertain when this happened.
You're not excluding the mumcha, I mean, you have to be both problems.
Sorry?
I think you have to be both. I mean, not because you're a kim without a mumcha, I mean,
what's the problem? No, you can have a kim who's a baki, but he doesn't do this by profession, so his profession's not on the line. Right? But if you have someone who's a professional who does this, he manufactures cheeses, then even if he's a goy, if he tells you wrong information, he might lose his job or whatever, you might not purchase from him.
You're a kim, I mean, obviously that means plus a mumcha, right? I mean,
correct, plus a baki, correct. We have a halacha before that a lokeach is never required to check anything. There is one sheet who says that if he can do it easy, the smart brings down the sheet of the Rav HaMagid, but we don't pass him like that. We pass him not like the Rav HaMagid, it's Mavun Reish Kof Ches like that, that you're not mechuyev to check it unless everybody checks it. If the shteg is that everybody checks it and you don't bother, then that's a mechila. Like we suggest that maybe a used car, they always bring it to a mechanic. Maybe. But if it's something that not everyone does it, even if it's the rav who do it, but not everybody, then the lokeach says, look, I don't bother checking it. It's not my responsibility. Your responsibility is to sell me something which is good and I have a right to tain a mechak toys.
In the case, you said the
yes. Yes.
What was the case for him? What was his case?
No, that was the case. Exactly how it says it over here. This is the case in the Tshuva.
The Beit
Seif
says that you don't say the
Salah.
See,
not really
affecting
the Mechaber. The Beit Seif says, if he is in the Rosh, why is he using the Rosh? It should be Kanim Tekanoya. And he says, in the Kanami, it should be Kanim Tekanoya. And he quotes, but the Beit Seif, for some reason, the Mechaber just quoted over the same Loshan again. That was. I'm not making a chiddush. I'm just saying, like the Beis Seif, you're going to have to learn this is lav dafka and it really means kanim zekanoya. But like the Rashbash, it's a beautiful pshat in the Rosh that it's somebody to make a veil of a raya. I don't think that there's a makhlek, it's just a difference of understanding what the case was.
It's a difference in
halacha, but not lamaisa, because if we're talking about a case where the suffix is, could it possibly happen, and the mumchum themselves don't know that. I think even the Beis Ezra would be made to make a mekavel avaraya, because you have a suffix, can you say kanem zakanoya? But if you could say kanem zakanoya, because it was only required one day, 3 days later, if that was a suffix, the Rash Rash is also made, you would say kanem zakanoya. There's no makhlekes lamaisa, there's no makhlekes how to explain pshat in the Rosh. Everyone agrees that if you could take kanem zakanoya, we do, and probably everyone would agree if you have a suffix, if you're allowed to take kanem zakanoya, then it'll be a mitzvah mekavel avaraya. All right, let's move on to Sif Yud Zayin. Ruvain Shemacha, there's another Chuvis Harash. Ruvain Shemacha l'Shimon noit shemen. Ruvain sold to Shimon a jug of oil. V'loy paschoy, and he had not opened it prior to buying it. Elasamach ala meicha she'amol leishu toif. He relied on the meicha who told him that it was good. U'kisha paschoy, later on when he got back to his house and he opened it, motzei ocho, he found it to be cloudy. Well, I'll give you first a precious pshat, which means that it's what we're talking about now is a new concept we didn't discuss till now, and what it is, yofis v'rois. What we've been talking about till now is mum, something which the shteg is, everyone is makbe, no one wants to buy such an item, and that's a mum. In this case, it's talking about not that it's a mum, but rather, I asked for good oil, you told me it was good oil, so I'm asking for grade A oil, and you supplied me with achor, which inferior oil, which is grade B. And that's also Mekatoyas, and that's really a whole siman in Reish Lama Gimel dedicated to this. It's called Yofis V'Rois. I asked for Yofis, and you supply me Rois, which is also Mekatoyas. Had I not asked for Yofis, I would just ask for Shemin Stam, you would be able to give me this Ocher Shemin, because this is also Shemin. People do use it. It's not terrible that it should be that should constitute as a mum. That's what the Smal learns chat in this Machaba. And you'll see how it becomes difficult as we go along. Again, when he opened it up, he found it to be ocher. What's the halacha? Well, now, what was the problem, really? So the Smar tells you some history. What happened was is that there was a double, two points of contention here. There was a double machlokes. The seller says, first of all, I never told you I was selling you good oil. I told you shemen stam, and even though it's ocher, it's just fine, because shemen ocher is also shemen. Second of all, I don't believe that this is the oil I sold you. What I sold you must have been good. This Shemen Ocher, you took it out of your pantry, you brought me someone else's oil, and you bring me Shemen Ocher. This is not the oil that I sold you. So I have the upper hand. You already paid me. It's a Moishe Mekavel of Araya. So therefore, Yeshava HaMoicha, the Moicha has to swear, Shenosan Shemen Toiv, K'moishe Isnimai. He has to swear that he supplied him with good oil as he was Masne. Now here's where it becomes difficult. Again, the seller claimed 2 points. First of all, he claimed that he didn't have to supply him with Shemen Toiv altogether, because he only said Shemen Stam. Second of all, even if he did, by the way, I did give you Shemen Toiv, and you just took someone else's oil and you swapped it, and now you're coming to complain, you're trying to milk me out of the money, but it's not true. You're playing a game here. So yeah, I have to swear. So the Mechaber says I have to swear that it's good as I was Masne. So the Smaz bothered, like his interpretation, why do I have to swear it's good? All I should have to swear is that this is not the oil that I gave you. Or I should have to swear Stamazah, that all I told you I was going to give you Shemen Ocher. I told you to give you Shemen Stam. Why do I have to swear that I told you to give you Shemen Toiv?
You gave him good oil, so he could die now.
Yeah, but for me to be Mezik Mirel of Araya, I could rest on my other claim. That you're right, I gave you good oil, but I didn't have to give you good oil. I think you swapped it. I didn't have to give you good oil. And grada, even if this is the oil that I gave you, and it is Shemen Ocher, you can't have a Mekach Tois, because I never told you I was going to give you good oil. All I told you I was going to give you Shemen Stam. Right. That is the Sma's problem.
Like, I didn't swear that I gave you the oil you asked for.
Correct. Bidiyuk. That is the Shaila. The Sma wants to know, why don't I just swear? Like his interpretation, I just gave you the oil that we made up, whatever that is. If it was Shemen Stam, then it's even Shemen Ocher. So Sma has to be Maskik. He says this is how you touch it. Shenosan Loi Shemen Toiv. He gave him as good oil, as enough. I mean, the grade was enough. It passed the grade as according to his Asnoah. And since his Asnoah was Stam, so that's already good oil, even though it's Shemen Ocher. It's a little doichik in the pshat. He gave him Shemen Toiv as he was masnah with him. I mean, it's funny because Machabe before said Toiv means really good. Let's say there are only two, Toiv and Ocher. So I gave you Toiv like according to my stipulation. If my stipulation was just Shem and Stam, so even Ocher is Shem and Toy for my stipulation. It becomes problematic in the world. Let me just continue and figure out this whole shot. And if the seller doesn't want to swear, he's not interested in swearing, he could flip the shul back to the lekeach, and now the lekeach could swear to be Moitzi Mamon. What does he have to swear? These 2 points. Yishava lekeach shehis ne'imoy losas lo'ishem in toif v'tzolah. First he has to swear that the seller promised him initially the deal was that he's going to give him good and clear oil. And two, he has to swear v'shezehu ha'shemen shenotan lo'i. And second, he has to swear that this happens to be the shemen that he gave him, and he wasn't playing a game on the seller and switching oils. And then, if he does make those 2 shuas, the yaksaloy hashemen, he has a right to return the shemen because it's a mekach tois. Oy, if not, yeshumu, even if he swears, but he doesn't want to make a mekach tois, yeshumu kamadom of chusim mi shemen toiv, we'll have to evaluate the difference in price. V'myirta lakech lakachto yaksaloy apchaz. And the lakech is willing to accept this price, this compensation for the difference between shemen toiv and shemen ocho, then the seller has a right to return the pchaz, and with that he'll be mekayim the mekach.
Why
would you have to mechuyev b'shvua rather than regular mechuyev b'shvua? Good kasha. You want to know why is the seller mechuyev b'shvua? First of all, if you learn that they had a machlokes, that there was a bari, I said that you did promise me toiv, and you say you didn't promise me toiv. If that was our machlokes, and I'm a tainus bari, then you have to swear because of that. Right? We have a concept of b'shvua says is whenever there's a tainus bari, you have to swear. It could be anything. Right, Tani, you owe me money and you deny it without a moedav b'mikzas, you deny it, we have a shvuah. So that could be a simple pshat. We'll see maybe another pshat.
Why is it necessary to learn that there are 2 issues here? Why?
Because you see from the sefer there were 2 issues. When the lokeach has to swear, he had to swear A, shehisni melosot l'ishem and toiv etzalol, and B, v'shezehu ha'shem and shenotam lay. So apparently there were 2. The lokeach would have to make a shmuan and a chenami, but the ma'aseh shoyek achoy that there were 2 points of contention, and then he has bothered to wind the ratio not, and that's why he gets stuck with his pshat. Now, on the sign of, before I get back to a second pshat here, the mechaber fears from yitzal lokeach lokach to yaksal lepchat. If the lokeach is willing to accept the difference in price compensation, then it won't be a mekach tois and yaksal lepchat. We have a halacha before in Reish Lamed Beis on Sif Dala, that when you have a mum, the seller cannot stick the lokeach to take compensation. If I bought a house and there's some damage and I want to come back to the seller and say mekach tois, the seller can't say, well, it's only $10,000 worth of damage, here's $10,000 and we'll, you know, with that we'll be mekayim the mekach. It's not true. We don't say that. If I have a right to be mevatel the mekach, I can be mevatel the mekach. And inversely as well, if you'll have a case where the lekeach says, I don't want to call mekach tois, all I want you is to compensate me and give me $10,000 back because that's the value of the house, the discrepancy, the seller says, I don't have to give you any money. Either you take it or you leave it. There's no such... The Moichah doesn't... Well, it's not obvious, but that is the akimta that the Beis Yosef says. The Beis Yosef says that we're talking about...
Now, Maskell
can
take it back.
Okay. He might not have the option, but right. So basically what you're saying is that the Beis Yosef says is that here we're talking about a case where both the seller and the lokeach agree that instead of calling a mekach tois, he'll take compensation instead. It's a funny thing, then you don't need a mechav, you don't need a rush. I mean, let's say they'll agree for some other type of pshar. They'll agree that the next time I purchase shemen from you, you'll give me a good deal. This will also be fine. They can agree whatever they want. I don't need a rush to tell me if 2 parties agree to settle the disputes out of court, then it's settled. It's a funny halacha. But there is a difficult pshat, a different pshat. But that's how the Beis Yosef learns that in economy, just ma'aseh shoyek achoyo, and they both agreed. Okay, let's get back to the ikar halacha. The ikar halacha is, again, the Sma'a was talking about Yofes of Royce and the 2 points in contention. The Moich has to make a shua that he gave him as the degree that he was required to give him, and the lekeach, and if the mekeach doesn't want to swear, he could flip the shua onto the lekeach, and the lekeach then has to make 2 shvuas, A, that it was toif, and B, that this is the actual shemen that you gave me.
Mechaber had to say the halacha
for
the first half of it.
Mechaber had to say which halacha?
Part of that Yaakov and Hashemen. I need a halacha.
Well, you're going back on my shalom. Why the machaber need the ending? Yeah, no, nechanami, but he should just stop. He said v'yakdol Hashem in two dot. Yeah, this whole thing that if they want to make a deal and compensate each other, that's very nice. I mean, he could give other suggestions, but where is that in halacha? Let me suggest a different pshat in the machaber, and I'll tell you the rise to this pshat. First of all, the machaber is modna. If he's talking about Yofes Arayis, he's in the wrong siman. Yofes Arayis is supposed to be in siman Reish Lamed Gimel. This whole siman is talk about primarily Mum. Second of all, the Shulti Gebarim Lamaisa, when he brings on the Chuvah Zerach, says Lahedda that we're talking about a Mum. This Orcha was a degree, a severe state of Achirus that it would already be constituted a Mum. And even had I not mentioned and made a deal that it should be Shem and Toiv, it would be grounds for Mekak Toiv because it is a Mum. So we are.
For Shem
Tov
to become
Achar. Why not? I mean, over time, I'm sure it spoils to some degree.
It is possible. It's not two different types of Shem.
Is it Shnei Minim? Probably not. No. Probably not. But the Shulta Gemara does say that this case is talking about Amum. So now we have to understand what's going on here. Second of all is, why did the Mechaber need this Nasat? Now we've been learning Shulchan Aruch for a while. Why all of a sudden here it says, V'loy Pascha, he didn't open it up, Elasamach Alamech Hashem Alei Shutayv. I can say it on every single case. The reason why he didn't, let's say the Behemoth was crippled or whatever, the reason why I didn't check it out is because I relied on the seller telling me it was good. Or by trade, for the reason why is because I relied on the seller. By Evid, by the Mumin, is because I relied on the seller. V'cheina, why all of a sudden hits of Yazayin, Machaber needs his whole Adoma, I relied on the seller that it was Toiv. What does he want with that? Well, if you open it up, it was closed. If you would open it up, you would see it. If you had, you opened it up. I didn't see it. It was closed.
The
trefe, right, but by an Eved, or by, let's say, the Sadin, the material, or by the case of, let's go back to the next case, about the behemoth who limps, or chigeres, iveres, is blind, or, we can go back basically in every single case. The house, which was damaged, v'chein, v'chein, you get the idea. There's something that Machaber is trying to tell you here. So let me repeat, I believe it, I have a pasha pshat in the Machaber, but it's based on three principles that we already discussed, and I would like to chazir the three principles. First of all, one that we just mentioned before, is that if you have something that the shtege that everybody checks before they purchase it, the halacha is if you don't bother checking, you cannot come back and tie a mekach tayis. It's a mechila because you should have checked, and if you didn't check, you can't come back. It's one halacha. Second halacha is that that's provided if you sold me something stam. If you sold me, let's say, we'll give you the case in Reish Chachas, you sold me yayin, stam yayin, and I expected that it should be good, and everyone checks and tastes, that was halacha. Everyone is trying yayin before they purchase the yayin, and I didn't go bother checking. The halacha is it's going to be the mekach is kaim. I cannot claim mekach tayis because it was a mechila because I didn't bother checking. However, if I told you lahed, you don't have to check. Why? Even I don't say those words, but I tell you, this yayin is tayif. So then I don't have to check because I relied on you. You're not going to lie to me. It means vice versa. If you're telling me it's safe, it means you check. And I have a right to rely on you. And no longer do I have a responsibility to check. And if I don't check, you can't blame me. And if it comes out that it's bad, I would have a right to claim that kachtois. It's one or two, actually, principles that we discussed before. A third principle we discussed is what happens if you sell me something and it's a mum. And we have a machloikis if I was aware of the mum at the time of the mechira. You claim that you told me that this mum exists, and you told me I'm an asa, I shouldn't come back to the mum, or let's say it was something begolui, and you claim that I must have seen it at the time of the sale, and it will constitute a mechila, and I say not true, I never saw it, you never told me, and it's a machlekes between me and you, what the halacha is. Halacha there is, we do not say it's a mechavela, right? We say that I have a right for a mechavela. And the reason is, we discuss it. Ritva says that the Ein Safek Moitz Midei Vade. We have a Vade Mekach Toys in front of us. We see clearly a Mum. There is a problem in front of us. It's a Mekach Toys. And you're claiming that I was Meichel. Well, that's a Safek. We have a Machlekes now. Was I or was I not Meichel? You claim I was Meichel, and I claim I wasn't Meichel. So therefore, Ein Safek Moitz Midei Vade, and I have a right to claim Mekach Toys. Again, let me just cut there. But first of all is, when you have something that everybody checks, that is, and I don't bother, it's a Mechila, unless you told me explicitly it was good. Second is we have a machloikis, whether I was moichu the mum, since there's a definite mum in front of us, I have a right to tain a mekach tayis. Now let's relearn the machaber. The case I would like to suggest is shemen is the same halacha as yayin. In Reish Chavches, we are medama kusei that the machaber yayin to shemen. That the shtega was that everyone checked the shemen before they opened up before they purchased the shemen, to see if it was good shemen. And it was something easy to check, and if I don't bother, it constitutes a mechila. So when I came back and I wanted to claim a Mekach Tois, you tied it to me. What do you mean? You should have seen it and you didn't bother. It's a Mechila. So I said, no, you know why I didn't bother to check? It's because you told him it was Tois. The reason why I didn't check this out is because I relied on you that you checked it out because you told me it was good. And if you told me it was good, I no longer have a responsibility to check and have a right to claim Mekach Tois. And what are you taina? You tainted these two things. You tainted that you never told me it was Toif, and it was also the Shemen that you supplied me. But you claim that you never told me it was Toif, and therefore I should have bothered opening it up, and if I didn't, it was a Mechila. So we have a Machlekes between us. We have a Machlekes between us whether I should have checked and I was Michael, or I didn't have to check because I relied on you that it was Toif, and I was not Michael. So we have this Machlekes. There's one Machlekes we have. Was I Michael the Mum? Did I or did I not have to check before purchasing this item? And then we have that second machloikis, which like the Sma says, is was it the actual shemen that you supplied me or not? So now, the halacha is, Yishava ha-moicha shenotan lo shemen toiv kmo she'es nimai. The seller must swear, he must swear that this was the good shemen that he supplied him. He cannot swear that he did not need to give him good shemen, that he cannot swear, because like I said, if you're going to have a mechila, if you have a suffix mechila, if I claim I was not moichalit, and you claim I was moichalit, I'm going to win. Because when you have a suffix mechila, and avad in mekatzayit, and remember, this is a mum, which is mevatel the mekach, even if we didn't make up that it was supposed to be good. So here you have a case, you sold me shemen, it was nimtzu, it was ocher, it was nimtzu a mum, and I want to tie in mekatzayit, so by you saying that I was moichal, perhaps, and I say I definitely was not moichal, you will not win, I will win. So the only way you should win is by saying that this is not the right shemen. So you have to swear, shenotzen lo shemen toiv kmo she'es nima, you had to give me good shemen, because otherwise it will be a faulty shemen, it's going to be a mum to be mevatel the mekach. But you just swear that you gave me the good shemen and I swapped the shemen for something else. So therefore, that is the only shur that you're capable of swearing. However, if the seller is not interested in swearing, then you shav alokeach these two points. She is nimoy losot lo shemen toy b'tzolol, v'shez ben hu ha-shemen shenotan loy.
Well, that's clear. You told me it's good shemen, if I trusted you.
And the seller says, I didn't tell you it was good shemen. The Moicha says that the Moicha told him b'shas ma'isa that it was toiv and he didn't have to bother to check. The Moicha denies that. Now, there's a second point that the Moicha and Lekeach have a machloikis, was this the actual shemen or not? So the seller says, I gave you good shemen and this is not the actual shemen that I gave you and therefore I'm fine. That's if the Moicha swears. If the Moicha doesn't swear, then it's now hit back to the Lokeach.
The shvur of the Moicha is that
I supplied you good shemen.
Okay.
I supplied you good shemen like I had to, because if not it would be a mum. I supplied you good shemen. I cannot swear that I didn't supply you good shemen, but you are Moicha. That's not my option, because I wouldn't be believed to that. I wouldn't win on that. My only claim to win is to say that I supplied you with good shemen, and this wasn't the shemen that I supplied you. You swapped it. However, when you go to the Lekeach, you're right. All the Lekeach has to swear the same thing. All the Lekeach would have to swear is that this is the shemen that you supplied me, which was Ocha, and it would be a Mekach Tois. But we have a concept that once you make a shvua, Megalgal in the love, and you have to make all the shvuas. So here, if the Lekeach would like to win, he would have to swear, A, that this is the actual shemen that you supplied me, and that enough really should make him win. But once he's already in the shvua mode, we Megalgal in the love, and we hit him with all the shvuas, and therefore he'll have to swear as well, that at the time of the seal, the Moicha told him it was tight, and they didn't have to bother to check it. If the Lekeach had not tainted that it was that the seller promised him to be good, then the Lekeach would lose. Because since the shteg is that everyone checks it and he didn't check it, it would be a mechila.
But even if it's a mum, correct.
We have a concept before, if you have something which is a mum, but everyone checks and you didn't bother checking, that will constitute a mechila. Because had you been makbid on this mum, you would have checked it out. So
why doesn't the Moicha also have to swear that this is not the world that I gave you?
That's the only shvur he has to swear. Shenotan loy shemen toiv just means, not that he said it was toiv, he has to anyway give him toiv because he has no right to give him ocher, because ocher is a mum. It just means shenotan loy shemen toiv kmo she'es nima, that he supplied him with good oil, and this is obviously not the oil that I supplied you. That's the only shvur he has to swear. He cannot swear the other shvur that he did not specify that it was supposed to be good, and therefore you were Michael, because if you have a suffix, if I was Michael or not, I'm going to win. The Lekeach will win. You have a Vadi Mekatois with a suffix Mechila.
If it's shy for good oil to turn bad, right? So why can't he swear that this is not true?
No, obviously it's going to have to be proven, like we had the previous concept, that this Och was so bad that it was already bad at the time of the Mechila. Otherwise, Tam there's no Mekatois. That obviously must be the case, that the Och was severe. Or it happened right after Mechila and he ran right back. But we know for sure that this Achirus was already, if this is the oil, then this was already there prior to the sale. So I see a lot of, let me say it over in a nutshell, and we'll see if we can get on the second round. Basically like this. A seller claims that you are Michael. He has no right to claim that you are Michael. His only way to win is by saying that this is not the Shemen that I gave you, and you're playing a game on me. So that is his Shvua. The Lekeach, however, all he has to swear is that this was the Shemen that you gave me, and he'll win, because again, a Suffolk Mechila is not going to help him. However, once he already has to make Shvuas, then we slap on him a second Shvua that the seller promised him it was Toiv, and therefore he didn't have to check. Because had the seller not told him it was Toiv, since the Shtega that everyone checked it and he didn't bother, it would constitute a Mechila. That's in a nutshell. Every kind, that's right. The Mechila could always tie in a harbor, and in every case, let's say his case of milk, the Mechila could say, this is not the milk you must have purchased at a different store. The Mechila could always tie into that, and you're right, the Lekeach is on weak.
The
Mechila
can create
a sphere.
How can you expect piece of sphere transfers from the Shua to the Lekeach? If you're sure, you're going to swear and tie.
There is a halacha that you're allowed to be Mechila Shua. But if you don't want to swear, it's. Many shvuas, not all, but many shvuas, you're allowed to be mahapach. So instead of me swearing, I can say, you know, I'll give you, if you hold it to be so true, gezintai, you can have that option, the wonderful option of swearing, and be my team moment for me. If they make. They do not make people swear. Bedera klal, we do not make people swear. We have other tools, the chayrim, the hin tzedek.
What do you do in this case?
So you give him either a chayrim or a hin tzedek. You give other things, or you might have to, if he's makabal, certain degree of pshara, doesn't have the right to deduct a certain amount due for the shvua. And you have to, what we call is being paid his shvua. You might have to buy his shvua out because he refuses to swear. Let's say, in this case, the Mechila would have to swear to not, let's say the Shemen costs $100, and the Mechila would have to swear not to release the $100, but not to refund the $100. And he refuses to swear because he's scared of making shvuas. So therefore, we have the right to give him an option. It's the minig already that we have a right to say, look, if you don't want to swear, so give him back something. Give him back $25, give him back $30, whatever it is. Buy out your shvua. You really have a chiv to make a shvua, but you're scared to make the shvua, so you'll have to buy out that shvua to compensate the lekeach, because he has the right to mun you for a shvua, and if you don't want to swear, you're going to have to compensate him somewhat for that shvua. Sorry? Biderakar, we do not let him make a shvua. If he wants to swear, and we won't let him, sometimes we will in a rare situation, but if he wants to make a shvua and he's adamant he's willing to swear, it really doesn't happen. But if he is, then Bezin will have to, the different makil suggests that Bezin would have to make him buy out a shvua at a lower price, because you see he's really holding by making a shvua. It's not a lot of regalachas, but this is the case. Let's just keep back to the case, is that if you have a machloikis, who's going to win? The Mechila will win if it's a Mechila Mechavar Lavrai. And obviously, if the Lekeach would have the money, then the tables would be totally turned. The Lekeach would win because of Mechila Mechavar Lavrai. All right, let's continue. Let's try to have a Ryan one more sif. Sif Yudches. Hamecha Dava Sheyesh by Mum. If someone sells something which has a mum, she'enu nira, it was not noticeable at the time of the sale, and because of that mum, the item got destroyed. He still has a right to go back to the seller and refund his money, even though he's not giving back the seller the item, because the item is ruined. And we're going to see a case. Keita, what's the example? Reuven sold to Shimon an animal which has no teeth. And Shimon places in the corral with the rest of his bakar. And every day he puts out food in front of in the trough in front of all the animals. And this animal has no teeth; he can't eat. And he didn't realize that the animal wasn't eating until it died of hunger. He still has the right to return the Nevela, the Yaksa as a domain, and to be refunded his money. And so to all these similar cases, he has the right to Taina Mekaktoyis, and the Moika can't say, well, you killed my animal. I didn't kill your animal died by itself, because you sold me an animal which has no teeth, and there was no way for me to know that it had no teeth, and I did what I had to, I gave food in front of all the animals, and therefore, I have a right to come back and claim a Mekaktoyis. You knew that the animal had no teeth, as we're going to see in a second. V'moya moicha sirsa. However, if the moicha is a middleman, pish, koinu omeicha behemis peshuk, b'yem shekoinu moicha, he just flips animals, and that means Pashas did not see. That means the seller himself did not know that the animal had no teeth, so you can't blame him for giving you such an animal. Shalekeach mizeh omeicha lezeh, he buys from one customer and he sells to another. Ve'no masha emekachima, he doesn't keep it by him for any time. V'lo yada b'mum zeh, and he wasn't aware of this mum. This is all the seller. The sirsa wasn't aware of this mum. Harei asafsa, sirsa, safsa, same person. Harei asafsa nishba shbu, safsa, shalo yada b'mum zeh. The safsa just swears that he wasn't aware of this mum. V'yipata, and he will be pata. Why? Because the Mechaber holds it was the responsibility of the Lekeach, he was Pesheya, it was his responsibility to check to see if it had teeth. Well, and when he would notice that it wouldn't have teeth, he should have gone back, like zero loy kaidim shayimus, he should have returned it to the seller immediately before it died, and via tzatzim mekzira la lakeya karishin, and then the tzatzim would have gone back to his meicha, could be it's a tois, it's with a meicha karishin, he would have gone back to his seller, to his supplier, and he would have gotten refunded his money, or another suggestion, as the Meivi says, he would have shechted it and eaten it, obviously, and the teeth wouldn't have been a problem. V'hovelo also came, and since the lakeya was peshe, and he didn't do this, he didn't check out the animal who hits it a lot when he was Pesheya, and once he was hit a lot when he has no right to Taina Mekaktoyis.
Is it Pesheya because he knows it's a Safsar?
No, not really. What the Pesheya really is that he should have checked it out. However, by a seller, he doesn't have to check it out because he knows, could rely on the seller because the seller knows about it. And Mamanashok, if it has teeth, so there's no reason to check it out.
I'm going back to Marish Kasha, because he knows it's a
Safsar. He knows it's a Safsar. He knows it's a Safsar.
That's why he knows it's a Safsar.
And there's a Pshia that he had to check out such things.
If he didn't know it's a Safsar, if he thought it was a simple...
If he thought it was a Meicher... Well, and he was really a Safsar, could be there's still a Pshia, because the Rishonim say it the other way. The Rishonim say it this way. The Rishonim say that if the Meicher knew about it, then it was Kilo, he was a Mazik B'Yadayim. It's Kilo, he was an Aved Midas. If I know that the animal has no teeth and I give it to you, and I know that you're just going to put it into your corral, so if you're a Pshia for not checking out, then I'm Doch Kosher, can a Pshia for giving you such an animal, and if it's like an Aved Midas, I can't hold you responsible for doing such a thing. But if I'm a Thafsin, I didn't know about it, then I could come back to you with a Taina. If I'm a Thafsin, I still knew about it, then I would not be able to have a tain on you. If I do, it would be an aved midas, and you would still be able to tain a mekaktoyis. And that's why I have a chiv shvua to swear that I didn't know about it. Had I known about it, I cannot blame you. But since I didn't know about it, so I'm not an aved midas, and I could come back to you with a tain. It's a pshia. You should have checked out the animal, and not just put it into your corral and just put out food. You should have noticed.
Why isn't every retailer today be able to
tain
it?
And a retailer is like a safsa.
So anytime you buy anything, you should be able to stay to look at. It's your problem. You should have checked it out.
Yeah. What? It's your problem if what? It's your problem if...
If
no, well, it doesn't work. One second. If it's a scratch or it doesn't work, it means something that was there all along and it's a mekaktoyis. Nothing happened afterwards. Not because it's a scratch and now it blew up. So you're giving you back, you're returning to the seller the exact tape recorder that you bought. It's a tape recorder with a scratch. It's a mekaktoyis. Here, it's because of your pshia, what you ended up doing is your pshia ruined the animal. Had you checked it out, the animal would have not died, or you would have returned it in a quick, right away, and the seller would have been able to do something with it. He would have gone back to his supplier. He would have shechted it. He would have done something with it. He wouldn't have lost his money. Because of your pshia, you caused the seller a loss. If your pshia caused the seller loss and ruined the item, means you don't have the item intact as it was at the time of the mechira, you have no right to claim mekaktoyis. If it would be a perishable, and he'd be mechuyev to check. Not every perishable, why you mechuyev to check right away? Why am I mechuyev to check? Here, the shtega was that they used to check vice versa, something like that, and he was pshiat. By the way, this is not muskum. The Mechaber holds he's a pshiat.
How do you know that something here, that it was the shtega to check that?
No, I'm saying something here, it was his responsibility. The Gemara actually talks about how he gave it to a shema, and the shema job, the Roya's job is to check. And the Rambam, the Mechaba, even puts it on every lokeach. Every lokeach, when they feed animals, a normal thing a lokeach is, he sees if his animal is eating or not, he checks that if it has teeth. The regular maintenance on an animal is to do these things. And therefore, the seller has a right to rely on the buyer to do it, and if he's not, he's a Peshaya, and he has no right to come back and claim a Mecca Toy.
The before you go to this house.
By the first case, it could have been a Peshaya as well, but the seller was equally, if not more, Peshaya by giving me an animal which has no teeth and not telling me if he knew that it had no teeth. It's like an Aveda Medat. He knew the animal had no teeth and he gives it to me anyway. What do you think is going to happen to the animal? It's going
to
die.
Your lawyer, are you to check?
Yeah, that, no. My responsibility is no greater than his responsibility. On his item, he can't be Aveda Medat and say, well, I was hoping that everyone be made of my Aveda. No, you can't do that.
There's two issues over here. Two issues. What is the Mecca Toy? That's for sure. That the Lokeach should check it out.
It, no, it's not a Mecca Toy. Even the Lokeach doesn't check it out. It's a Mecca Toy as it was. Right. The question was the Lokeach a Peshaya, which a Makaba holds he was? And once you're Peshaya, and because of your Peshaya, the item got totally ruined, there's no longer grounds for a Mecca Toy. It's not pshat, by the way. It's important to mention. It's not pshat that, okay, money, I'll shame you for being Peshaya, and I'll pay you the amount of an animal which has a mum, has no teeth, it might be only worth $100, but refund me the $200 I paid you for a good animal. We don't say that. I get nothing back of my sale price. You don't refund me anything. The reason is because when it comes to a Mecca toy, the deal is, you give me back my item, I refund you your money. If you don't give me back my item, I don't refund you your money. If the reason why you're not giving back the item is because it blew up by itself and it's not your fault, so then you have a right to still come back to me. But if the reason why it blew up is because your fault, so you're not giving me back the item I gave you. When you give me back this shor, I'll give you back your money. Till then, I have no responsibility to refund you your money. This is the Shita of Makab. Let's continue with Shkapa Ryan here at the end. The Ramah argues, the Ramah holds that it's not a pshia. It's not considered a negligence on the part of the lokeach. The yesh kokum v'sriyelu dafilo asirso, even by asirso tzorok l'shalem. Why? Da'ad v'gav duhu nisana, even though he might have not known it himself, and he was nisana, and he should go back to his supplier, ein loy lohin nisachen, that doesn't give him a right to hurt other people and to sell it to other people, v'odim b'chol koyete b'zeh, v'chein nirali ikah. And the Mechabel and the Ramah holds this to be the Ikah, because he views this not as a Pshia, like the Mepharshim explained. He views this only as like a Ke'en Gneva Vaveda responsibility. He's not an outright Pshia, and therefore he has a right to go back to his seller. And the Sasha has no Isnatos. He can't say, well, I myself didn't know about it. That's never an excuse. If let's say you buy a tape recorder and you go to the store and say it's damaged, and it's a Mechatoyas, and the guy says, no, go to my supplier, go to Sony. There's no such tariff. I bought it from you, I go to you. You bought it from Sony, you go to Sony. I have my dealings is with you. And v'chena v'chena, whatever it might be, you buy any defective item, you have a taina on the person who gave it to you. He cannot say, well, go to the manufacturer. It's never an excuse. And even if the seller didn't know that it was damaged, it's still not an excuse. But Koshikain, Dr. Ramah, Bedava Shalai Pasha, Koina Klal, it's not even King Gneva Veda, it's nothing wrong. Kagoin Shemachalai Tabas, Becheska Zov, he sold him a ring that was Becheska Zov. Ma'akak Shobah Lokeak, and the Lokeak broke it. Venimsa by Bedil, and it was found inside to be lead. So that's a Mecca Toys. He was supposed to be gold, and it came out to be lead. It's a Mecca Toys. Shechayev lacks the Moisev. He has a chiv to return back the money. Even though the seller himself, the retail himself, didn't know that it was really lead. He himself was duped. He himself bought it to be gold. But if he doesn't trust it was Bedil because he thinks you exchanged rings on him, similar to like we have by Shemin, all he has to make sure that I don't know about it and could be this is a different ring and he'd be potter. And Ramah continues with an interesting case. If you have someone in the middle, you have a guy who sold something, a block, a bar of tin, or makroi, and he sold it to me, a middle person, and I then sold it to you. And we all didn't know that anything was worth in it more than Bedil. V'akak noida, the last lokeach found out, show you by Kesav Azov, he found out that it was really silver or gold. Zokha lokeach, the last lokeach wins. Why? Why can't the sister say, look, I sold you something which was Bedil, and it came out to be gold, so it was a Mecca toy, give me back the item I sold you. Shalei zocher by a sister me'elam. The sister was never zocher in the gold, because he too didn't know that it was gold inside. He purchased it from his supplier to be Bedil. So he was never zeicher, even mitam chatzah, the Mepharshim say he can't be zeicher, because chatzah only works on something which is shchich to happen and shchich to find out, and this is not shchich to happen and not shchich to find out. He never was zeicher in it. So basically what it really is, it really belongs to the original guy. It was never, right? The original guy sold it to me, becheskes bedil. So it was a Mecca toys, and really it should belong to the guys. It's an Avedis Akum. So find its keepers. Whoever finds it can keep it. I never found it, and I was never coined it. So therefore, I cannot keep it. I sold it to you. So you who found it ends up winning and ends up keeping this item, even though it's Zog. The first one was the Yid. Then yes, the original Yid could tie the Mecca toys to me and. But he said, "But I've been in. You can go back my mechir, and then I'll have to go back the next mechir."
Why did he make him?
No, that was the ma'aseh shoy. The ma'aseh was that the original. He was a guy. It was a guy. So everything goes back.
Only by a seder? Is this halacha?
But it could be any retailer, any case where the middleman never knew that he had a treasure inside this item. He was never zeich in this treasure.
Not because he's a brother.
Correct. If I buy a house. And I didn't realize that there was a treasure in the attic. And then I sold it to you, and then there was a treasure in the attic. You're going to be zeich in that treasure. Because I never knew about it, so if I was never zeich in it.
You're telling me it's
Mecca
the other way. You could say, give it back
to me. You could say, it's mine. It's mine. It's my gold. I never... It could be like any Meshav Aveda. If you know that the Yid was never Miyayish, or he was Miyayish after the Aveda was set into motion. It's really an Aveda. That's really what it is.
He never knew.
No, whoever never knew was never zeicher. There must have been some person who knew at one point in time. The first seller who knew, go back a few steps, the first seller who knew owned this item and somehow lost this ring by accident, gave you this ring as bedil, and didn't realize he gave you his really golden ring, which was covered with bedil. And when he found out that he lost it, it was already by you, the customer, the middle guy. And then so it's like every Aveda, now that it was Miyayish, it's too late. It was a Yish.
Why is this Kutzer Kain? The case of the house.
The reason why it's Kutzer is not Kain is because over there, the Rishonim say that in order for Kutzer to be Kain, there has to be something which was Shchiach. It's not like the Rishonim take some Mordechai. Either something which is Shchiach to come into the Kutzer. Or something which is shkeich to be found. If you have a case which it's not shkeich to come and not shkeich to be found, chotz is not going. That's why the Ramah says, "Vayinla kamon sim reis hamachet," because that's the halakha reis hamachet about chotz. Chotz cannot be going to this thing. So to here in this case, it's not usual that a bedil should have beneath it buried gold, and it definitely is not normal to be found. People don't break these things open. So therefore, and a normal shkeich he would never know about, says chotz cannot be going. So the last person who gets it will be going. And just.
Had a case where somebody sold me a diamond that had a big scratch in it. Like I thought it was a big crack in it. It wasn't worth anything. It sold it to me for my mishpachas. And I saw right away that this thing is he's making a big mistake, and
there's a lot of what's worth a lot of money. I'm going to go and down. You might have another locker. They might have another locker of a no. That if the difference between the scratch and the crack was
making money on it.
No, but what's the...
He sold it for a profit.
I'm sure he did, but let's say the retail firm.
He got it from somebody else on the same one.
Well, there's going to be a noise generated view to him and him to the next guy. If it was off by more than a shtos, then it'll be a bit of Mecca just for that. Here, this is more like a treasure. What it is I told you, Taka, the bedil ring.
Right?
I told you the bedil ring, but inside it was a treasure. You're going to see why I'm saying that later on. But it's like I sold you a house and it was a treasure hidden in the attic, which is not shchiach to be there. It's not the house. It's not part of the house. It's not the house is made out of gold. The house is made out of wood. Just inside the attic, there was gold. This ring was made out of lead, and inside the ring, there was a hidden treasure, and that hidden treasure, whoever finds it will keep it. Just because you kind of this bedil doesn't mean you own the treasure inside of it. And just to apply today...
For other tapes by Rabbi Kahan, or for additional information... Please contact Beis Din Meisharim at 732-905-3388. Thank you.